Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
You entertain those thoughts and they will have a negative thing. And so the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is the essence of the battle of the mind. Joyce Meyer wrote a great, great book on that. You ought to pick it up sometime. But it's the battle of the mind. That's exactly where it starts. It's what you think about. David talked about it when he said, I begin to dwell on the rich. Did you ever see somebody? I used to have a friend, and he was such a wonderful guy, a great Christian, but he had one little bad habit. I'd tell him about somebody being blessed that he was not highly impressed with, and he'd always say this, there is no justice. Yeah, there's justice. But we have to be very careful. And David said, I looked at some of the richest people I knew. He said, they were also the most evil people I know. And he said, when I did that, he said, my feet were well nigh unto slipping. What was he saying? He said, I let my mind dwell too long and said, why are they being blessed? That's not a question you ought to be asking. You shouldn't even be thinking like that. It's between you and the Lord, not between you and them and the Lord. It's just between you and the Lord. And so you shouldn't. David said, it almost destroyed me. And then I went to the house of God, and he said, I saw their end. You know, there's something about the house of God that is very corrective. And that's what David said. When I got to the, God readjusted my thinking. But when you allow the devil to penetrate your mind and give you those thoughts, it opens a portal to him. The Bible said, resist him. And this is what God is. This is the way you resist him in your mind. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You know, when I was a young man, I tried to figure out things. I want to figure out everything. As I've gotten older, there's just some things I say, I don't know. And I don't really care because I know the Lord's in charge. And what the Lord does will be right. Life gets a whole lot easier when you don't try to figure everything out. Just know the Lord is in control. The Bible said, neither give place to the devil. When you have bad thoughts, it's giving place to the devil. The Bible said, the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can it be. Enmity, you know what that means? It means the state or feeling of being actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. So your carnal mind is against God. So you've got to bring your mind under subjection. How do you do that? You do that with the Word of God. The Apostle Paul said, when I do good, evil is present. That's what he's talking about. He said, when I want to do good, these evil thoughts crowd. So when you have thoughts of criticism or lust, and you begin to realize they're there, you got to deal with those. Bring them into captivity. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. I'll tell you how to do that. Pray. Every time you have a thought, take a moment and begin to don't grow in your mind. You know, I found that with people. Have you ever had anybody around you that's just really critical? I mentioned this before. I was over at the old building one day, and there's a man that I'd known for a long time. And he had a little bitty church here in San Antonio. He'd been a missionary, and he had this little church. And when he came to San Antonio and started that church, he thought it was going to flourish. And it didn't flourish like he thought it would, Warren. And so he kind of developed bitterness in him. So he came by the church one day, and I was over there, and he came by, and we sat there and talked a while in my office, and he said, you know, so-and-so, and he called a pastor's name. He said, you know, he's not doing very well over there. I said, you know, that's funny you'd say that. I said, I just visited him last week, and I said, he is so encouraged. He said his church is doing better than it's ever done. We changed the name. He said, you know, so-and-so over here, and he called another pastor's name, and he said, he's not doing good. I said, you know, it's funny you'd say that, because he has a 2 o'clock service, and he invited me to preach over there at 2 o'clock, and I said, that building was just full of people. He called about 3 or 4 pastors' names, and every one of my, he said, I got to go. You know, the devil will say the same thing if you resist him. He'll say, I got to go. Don't entertain the devil. When you have thoughts of lust and criticism and fear and condemnation, the devil will just hang around. Let me tell you about the devil. If you let him hang around, he'll bring a lot of bad things with him. And you got to learn to resist him. Whatever things are lovely, think on these. You want to resist the devil? Begin to think good thoughts. Begin to think the positive thoughts. Begin to think how good the Lord has been to you. Look how far the Lord has brought you. Be like David. Said, the Lord had brought me out of a miry clay. He digged me out of a horrible pit. He put me on the rock to stay. That's bringing dominion in your life. You're having strength in your life. And so Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present. Every time you come to that opportunity for something good in your life, the devil is going to try to counteract that with a bad thought. It'll be a bad thought about somebody, or it'll even be a bad thought about yourself. The devil is such a devil. Man, he's a devil. He'll make you do something, and then he will make you regret it and make you condemn yourself. You got to take dominion over that thought, over your mind, and say, I'm going to think on the Lord. But the Bible said his delight is the Lord. This is the key to submitting to God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. You know, I used to know a lady, and bless her heart, she read the Bible all the time. But you know what she did? She searched out scriptures that would be condemning of the people she didn't like. She'd read a verse, and she had somebody's name on it. She'd say, see that verse right there? That's just like Sister So-and-so. So she was using the Bible in the wrong way. You know, and her favorite verses were, there'll be lovers of pleasure. She looked at all the negative verses. I'm not saying that you shouldn't read all the Bible, but you need to learn to focus on the verses that are going to cause you to submit to God, that encourage you in the thing. I can read the Bible and just go from place to place on negative things and become very, very discouraged. Or I can look in them and find those promises that are to me and yea and amen. What is the result of submitting to God? It is dwelling. His delight is in the law of the Lord. His law doth he meditate day and night. What is the result of that? You know, the Bible is a tremendous book. Tremendous book. And when you read that Bible, it tells you who you are in the Lord. It tells you what God has prepared for you. It tells you what strength you have. It will encourage you. Look what happens. Look at this. I want you to see this. His delight is, this is Psalm 1 and 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. You need to realize how powerful that scripture is, because it continues like this in verse 3. This is the result of submitting to the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And I love this. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What is that? That's a result of your mind submitting to the Lord. You resisted the thoughts and the thoughts that the devil puts in your mind, and you meditate on the promise of God. Look who the Lord says I am. I remember back in the old days when I was so broke and the church was so broke and we was going through tribulation. I thought we was in the tribulation period. It was in the early 80s. It is tough. And I got to where I would pray every day. And I remember one phrase I just locked in. And it said, you shall eat the sweet. You shall drink of the Lord. And I'd just get in those verses like that, and I'd say them over and over and over. And it made me feel better. But after a while, it was more than feeling. It actually became a possession. It actually changed my life. The worst thing that ever happened to Christianity is when great denominations remove the supernatural aspect out of Christianity and made it just something that is intellectual. Christianity is supernatural. Christianity is supernatural. The Word of God is supernatural. And when you begin to meditate day and night, it is going to contribute to the fact that everything you do is going to prosper. I expect everything I do to prosper, whether it's in the physical realm, whether it's in the monetary realm, whether it's in the spiritual realm, I expect it to prosper. Why? Because God said it would. And the Word of God is supernatural. You know, and so many preachers, I read yesterday where some preachers involved in politics were going to lose. And there are churches in politics. Some of them will be very conservative, and some of them will be very liberal. Well, no matter what conservative, and some of them will be very liberal. Well, no matter what that opinion is, and no matter how right or wrong it is, it's not supernatural. There's nothing supernatural about your love or your hatred for Donald Trump. There's nothing supernatural about your love or hatred for Obama. It's just not there. But the Word of God is supernatural. So I don't want to dwell on politics. I don't want to dwell on... I want something that is going to change my life. The Word of God is supernatural. And so when I get ready to entertain the Lord, submit to the Lord, the way I do that is begin to think about His Word. Think about what it said. Who He said I am. The Lord has amazing things. The Bible said we're partakers of His divine nature. Just that one phrase. You can think about that all day long. I am a partaker of His divine nature. If that is true, that supersedes politics, that supersedes race, that supersedes culture. I have a divine nature because Christ died and the same spirit that was in Christ is in me. And so that's the way. Draw nigh unto the Lord. Submit to the Lord. Resist the devil. What is the second portal of entry for the devil? The devil is looking to gain entrance in your life. Remember the verse? Give the devil no place. Give the devil no place. He is trying to gain entrance into your life. That's the reason why David said, I will set no evil thing before my eyes. You know, I was raised, this is odd. I was raised in a church where you couldn't have a television. We had a television. My dad bought a television. We lived in a small town at that time, and we were the first people. This is like, I was about 4 years old, about 1950-something, and we got a television, and it was so unique that the neighbors would come, and they wouldn't even sit down. They'd stand and just look at our television. That's how old I am. But the pastor came to my dad and said, Brother Fender, said, you can't have a television and be a part of our church. And Dad was on the church board, and Dad was on the church board. They said, if you don't get rid of your television, we're going to have to kick you off the board. And Dad said, well, that's all right. I didn't really want to be on the board anyway. So Dad wouldn't get rid of his TV. Dad was not rebellious, but he was just like the old-timers were. Like, our pastor didn't want men or women to wear short sleeves. You had to wear sleeves to your wrist. And Dad always wore short. He'd wear a short sleeve shirt and a necktie at church. The pastor came and he said, Brother Fender said, I'm offended by your short sleeve shirt. And Dad said, oh, I got a reason for wearing a shirt. Oh, he said, I didn't know. What is it? And Dad said, I get hot. Hard to argue with that kind of logic, you know. But it was just little things all the time, picking on you about all kinds of little things. But the Lord is telling us that He's on our side, that we have a divine nature. So I'm going to dwell on the promise of the Word of God. And when I do, what happens? The devil can't find that entrance into my life. He flees from the Bible. Don't you want to put the devil on the run? And so what I started to say about it was odd in our denomination because you couldn't have a television. And back in those days, it was like Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best. It was not very corrupting things. That same denomination today passed a bylaw that you can have a television now. Back when we were Father Knows Best, you couldn't have one. Now they've got nudity and every filthy thing. Now they've decided it's all right. You know, it's not what men say. It's what the Word of God. David said, I will set no evil thing before my eyes. It's up to you to control what you watch on television. You say, well, I watch some things. Well, let me tell you, if you watch the wrong thing, it's a portal for the enemy to come into your life. It will say, will it send you to hell? I don't know, but it'll make you go through hell on earth. It'll bring a lot of bad things into your life. That's the reason why you've got to resist the devil, and he'll run from you. Don't you want to put the devil on the run? Don't you want the devil to get up every morning, and when you get up, the devil says to the demons, said, don't fool with her. Don't fool with Jennifer. She'll give us fits all day long. Said, if you attack her, she'll start praising God. And I don't want to hear that. See, the devil don't want you hearing you say, Jesus is good. God is good all the time. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my way maker. He's my miracle worker. He's my healer. He's my... The devil don't want to hear that. And when you begin to do that, what happens? The devil flees. He gets away from you. He just runs away from you. But if you have things in your life that the devil likes, he'll hang around. And if he hangs around, his middle name is liar. He'll deceive you. He'll bring sickness. He'll bring poverty. He'll bring all kinds of things. And so the key is learning how to submit to God and resist it every day of your life. That'll be your goal. I'm going to submit to God. And how do you submit to God? Through the Word of the Lord. And when you submit, good things happen in your life. And so I want to draw nigh to the Lord. The Bible said, draw nigh to Him. He'll draw nigh to you. Friend, when God is close to you, it repels the devil. The devil does not want to be in the presence of the Lord. You see, there's a power of confession. The way the devil works is your mind and then your tongue, what you say. I hear people saying all kinds. I'm not just talking about cursing. I'm just talking about negative things. Just confessing negative things. Well, I think I'm going to lose my job. Well, I think the economy is going to get worse. That's just the way they talk. And the devil just loves to hear that. But the Bible teaches us that we shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead. I shall be saved, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, I was raised in Pentecost. Pentecost and the Word of Faith are very different. Pentecostal people are really strong on certain things, but they don't believe, and they make fun of people that are Word of Faith. And so when I first start being around Word of Faith people, and they start talking about that you are literally trapped by what you say, or you're loose, I thought, man, that's crazy. But eventually I begin to search the Word of God. I said, you know, that's true. What you say is powerful. My friend Darlene Bushy wrote just a little booklet, but it's called Your Life Follows Your Words. And it really does. And so when I heard somebody say, I am the righteousness of God, Brother Tom, I thought they was being self-righteous. No, we are the righteousness of God. When you look in the mirror and you get up in the morning and say, I am the righteousness of God, you're not bragging on yourself. You are bragging on the finished works of Christ. That Christ could take somebody like me and make me the righteousness of God. And you know, the devil don't want you to say that. The devil wants you to say, well, I'm just a backslider and I'm a sinner. He likes for you to talk like that because you will become what you say. But when you say, I am the righteousness of God, praise God, something is activated in your life. The Word of God is activated in your life. The Bible said Abraham believed and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And when you become the righteous of God, it changes everything. That's better than being black, white, brown, yellow, in between. I mean, when you are the righteous of God, it don't get no higher than that. That means, praise God, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. I just see those fiery darts coming and they just fizzle because I'm the righteous of God. But the Bible teaches us that not only the mind, but what we say. That's a portal for the devil. If we say negative things, the devil has an interest. But praise God, if we confess the goodness of God, the finished work of Christ in our life, that's drawing near to God. And then the closer you get to God, the farther the devil gets away from you. He will flee from you. The Bible said, and I love this verse. Listen to this verse. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. What you say is going to condemn you or justify you. And so you need to confess what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Some people think it's humility to say, well, I'm just a sinner. You know, that's all I am. If you are saved and you say that, that's not humility. That's an assault against the work of Christ. You know, I've got a friend, and he says I'm a tremendous blessing in his life. He said, my life changed just getting to know. He was already a pastor in a little church, and he said, my church had zero money in the bank when I met you, Pastor. And he told me here a while back, he said, he calls me, not to brag. He said, you know what I did today? He said, I put some money in the bank for the church. Our church now has $1 million. He said, Pastor Steve, when I met you, he said, we didn't have anything. He said, you've influenced me that much. Oh, when he tells me that, it doesn't make me proud, Eric. It makes me feel good. I've been an influence in his life. But when you say, well, I'm just an old sinner, and you've been born again. You've been filled with the Spirit. You've been baptized into his blood. You've been on his word. That's an assault against the finished work of Calvary. But when you say, I am the righteousness of God, look how far the Lord has brought me. See, you're being justified by your words. You're not bragging on your flesh. You're bragging on your Savior. Look what the Lord has done. And here's the next thing. If you want to draw near to the Lord, if you want to, the Bible said, draw near to him, he'll draw near unto you. If you want to draw near to the Lord, and some of you have gotten, a lot of you in this church know this. I've seen it in you. Some of you hadn't gotten it yet. You come from a Catholic background or a Baptist background, and it hadn't quite percolated in you yet. But if you learn to be a praiser, it's the greatest weapon in your life. It's the greatest weapon in your life is to praise God. The devil literally can't stand for you to praise God. The devil hates God. And when you praise God, it makes him mad. And after a while, he just throw his cap down and stomp off. He just throw a fit and get away from you because he didn't. Praise is an amazing thing. What does praise do? It draws us closer to God. It draws God into our lives. What does praise do to the devil? You know, I've used this verse several times in the last few years because it was a revelation to me. I didn't understand it. I read it 1,000 times, but it didn't work and hit my brain. I've never heard anybody else preach on it except me. But let me read it to you. Let the high praise of God be in your mouth. What are you doing? I'm resisting the devil. Let the high praise of God be in your mouth. What are you doing? I'm drawing nigh to God. It's a combination of those two keys, opening and closing, loosing, setting free. Let the high praise of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, and to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor hath all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. That verse is one of the most powerful verses in the entire Bible. It tells you what happens when you become a praiser. When you become a praiser, it executes vengeance. Every time you watch particularly a basketball, but all sports, you see a coach and he's interviewed after the game. And they say, Coach, how come you all lost by 37 points? He said, well, we didn't execute tonight. What that means is I'm a great coach and they're terrible players. I gave them a plan, but they didn't carry out the plan. See, as long as the scripture is in the Bible, it's the plan. But it has to come off the pages of the Bible to be executed. See, how can I execute the word of God? To begin to praise God. And look what it says. You see, you don't have to. I know people try to put curses on people. You know, there are people who have been in my way, in business and whatever. I mean, they were in the way. I couldn't get the deal made. They were in the way. When we were trying to build the first church next door, that was an ordeal. I wish you'd have been here. That was fun. There was a lady that went to every neighbor. Some of the houses were set, and we had to tear them down right where this church is. She went around with a petition and got everybody to sign it and said we should not be able to get that property zoned. We could build a church there, but we couldn't borrow any money because it was zoned residential. And so she got this petition and got every neighbor signed it. Not part of every neighbor signed it, that we couldn't change the zoning. And so we went to City Hall here in Live Oak. And she was there, and everybody's there, and we took our little church group over there. And so we were there. And so they gave the reason why the church should not be here and why we shouldn't. And the woman that executed the petition stood up and started crying. And she said, I never will forget her words. She said, I've changed my mind. She said, I think the Reverend ought to have his church. She was the reason why we couldn't have a church. And so they voted. And when they voted, the city council was split, like, I don't remember, 5-5 even. And the mayor had to vote, and he voted in favor of the church. And just as soon as the vote was over, she stood up and she said, I've changed my mind again. I don't think the Reverend ought to build a church there. And I never will forget the words of the mayor. He said, sit down. It's too late. We've already voted. What are you saying? I didn't want to hurt that lady. I didn't want her to get cancer. If you pray for somebody to get cancer, I think you're demon-possessed. I don't want her to have a car wreck. I just want her to cry and change her mind. And so all we did is praise God. And a few times in that little meeting, the mayor had to ask the church members, please, please be quiet, because we were praising right over here in City Hall. I'm going to tell you what, praise is a weapon. What does it do? It executes the judgment written. What does that mean? It causes the will of God to be performed in your life. And so if you want to draw nigh to God, become a praiser. Praise God in good times. Praise God in bad times. Praise God when people are for you. Praise God when people are against you. What happens? The Word of God is taken from the pages. It's no longer just ink on paper. Now it is a supernatural living entity that becomes a force in your life. And the very will of God and the plan of God becomes a force in your life. That's what it means when it says it'll execute the judgment written. It means the will of God will come to pass in your life. And I've determined a long time ago, I know what, you know, it's very important that you know what the will of God is. It's the will of God that I not go to hell. That's God's will. It's the will of God that I go to heaven. It's the will of God that I be of sound mind. It's the will of God that I be in divine health. It's the will of God that I be the lender and not the borrower. It's the will of God that I prosper in all things, that I be like a tree planted by the water. That is the will of God. And so when I begin to praise God, what does that do? That causes the plan of God not just to be a written paper, but a living entity in my life. And those words leap off the page, praise God. When I'm in the hospital, I'm praising God. When the doctors give me a report, I'm praising God. When I've got pain in my body, I praise God. I said to Becky, I mentioned this the other day. I said to Becky, did I keep you awake all night? She said, yes, you did. Because all night I was having an attack of the enemy. But Gene, I was praising God. And when the morning sun came up, I was great. And I said, I'm sorry I kept you awake. She said it was actually very pleasant to hear. She didn't get asleep, but she knew I was praising God. She knew I was executing the will of God for our life, that I'm going to live and not die, that I'm going to be an overcomer, praise God. And friend, I'm going to tell you what, there are people in this building, you're just that close for the biggest miracle in your life, but you got to resist the devil. You see, when you praise God, what is the result of that? God comes in. He draws nigh unto you. He enacts His plan for your life. But you give the devil a place. What is it? John 10 and 10 said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. What are you letting the devil steal in your life by giving him a portal, an entry, a doorway, just by being negative in your thoughts, negative in what you say? Or you can just say, I'm going to praise God. I don't care what the devil says. I'm going to praise God. And when I do, I'm going to pray. People are going to make fun of you. If you're going to be a praiser, be prepared to be made fun of, because people are going to make fun of you if you praise God. Well, he's praising God. Look at him. He's just stupid because bad things.